What's up, you guys?
You keep sniffling.
Say, he's like, stop sniffling. Why don't you stop breathing? How about that?
Hold on, hold on. Why am I fucking going off the screen?
I don't know.
Out of the damn screen. Why is it so dark in here?
Why is it so dark in here?
Yeah,
what's going on?
What's going on? What's up with this? Say, there you go. This is some weird ass shit.
Man, it's like we're only 5 seconds into the show.
Check the volume.
And he's already complaining.
Been fucking up the volume too.
Yeah, it was all the way up when I checked it before, but I fixed it.
Okay.
So hopefully.
Fucking poltergeists in this shit.
I'm telling you right now. I'll check right now. I'm checking. Yeah. Okay. I'm checking right now.
See how I'm checking? Check that shit.
I'm checking it. Wait a minute. Device properties. Okay. So there we go. It's fine. Right. Yeah. Okay. Just hopefully. All right. It won't.
And I want to know why is this is my normal place over here. And look, I'm fucking off the damn screen.
Well, what do you want? Like I said, Pookie comes in here and moves the camera,
too. That's
what it
is. That's probably what it is.
Because she comes in here and climbs around and bites on things because she likes to chew on metal for whatever reason.
That's probably what it is. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, because I didn't touch it.
What is space? Is the space-time continuum being warped or something? There's a black hole in the area? and things are getting closer together. The spaces in which things are occupy are getting closer together. Moving without movement, that kind of shit.
A black hole in this office would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah. The hell?
DJ Maniac says, because Pookie has an OnlyFans she hasn't told you to about yet. She's in here while we're sleeping, filming herself laying on her belly.
I put a whole bunch of sexy fucking videos and pictures up of our Jenny and all our friends and shit. I had that put that up on Instagram the other day. Got a lot of reactions from people. Shared some of them.
Yeah, that was from the halfway to Halloween party that we went to after the Aileen Wuornos show.
Yeah. Jenny dressed up like the Bride of Frankenstein. I unbuttoned her blouse, boobs hanging out and shit. Fucking the restaurant. She's like, leave me alone.
I was trying to eat my chicken and waffles.
Actually, before the food came.
And he's like trying to fucking fuck with my outfit.
Yeah, somebody said the buttons survived the night. I said I made sure they didn't. And the guy was like, good job. That's how you do it. Yeah. Fucking right.
Well, I think one of them actually had come undone without me noticing. Because then we were talking to this girl and she told me that it was undone. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I didn't notice that.
Walking in, our friend Aurora was there. She was going to do a suspension gig. She does a nice dance for the camera and fucking shows her ass off, and then later on fucking they stick hooks through her back and fucking she's swinging through the sky on the damn trapeze.
They did that on
thing.
The back patio.
And some other girl too. These fucking industrial girls all tatted up and shit.
It was a pretty big turnout, gotta say.
Yeah, pretty good turnout. Pretty good.
I don't know. I don't remember who won the costume contest because I think I was outside when that was going on.
Is that cat? Yeah. Is that your cat?
I don't.
No, it must have been the neighbor
that's
kid.
That's the neighbor's kid or their dog.
Yeah, it's a kid.
It's kind of hard.
It was both.
They have a dog that barks, and then they have a little girl that goes,
yeah.
Like all the time. Like every time the dog barks, she yells.
Yeah.
It's like really funny.
Yeah, Sleet and Cheese says hooks. Yeah, they were hooks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a fun night. Like I said, then we went to Chantel's and I got some chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat it all, though. It was like
The chicken was real good.
It was really good.
And it wasn't oversalted like the fish was last week.
Yeah, they did have some salty catfish last time. That's why I got chicken and waffles this time, even though I think I maybe only ate half of it. It's a massive. Yeah. It was like three big pieces of fried chicken on this big, huge waffle.
Okay, go ahead and press the like button, people.
Everybody likes some
shit right now. Talking about the new Creepshow episode that came out, just touching base with it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, this was a pretty good one. What I didn't realize, I wasn't sure, because I was recording a show with the podcast Where in the Folk, and we've got to talking about that, and that guy on there had just watched it as well, and I said, I think I heard this was the finale, even though it's only the fifth one, and I guess it was. Now they are going to do a season three. That's already been... that's already been okayed. Like Nicotero came out and said that they'd already been okayed to do a season three. So it is going to continue. I think what ended up happening was that because the first season had 7 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now this one, I think, was also supposed to have 7 episodes, but what ended up happening was that because it got delayed, they wanted to do something over last Christmas. So they took one of the episodes from the season and made that the Christmas special. And then I think there was supposed to be another episode, but like Marilyn Manson was in it. And I think like he just got accused, like there's a bunch of rape accusations and stuff. So they were like, man, maybe we shouldn't show that one, or maybe we shouldn't do it or whatever.
Wait, but hold on 1 second.
What?
Rape allegations?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know that much about it.
I'm already tripping, because back in the 90s when he first arrived, that was his whole act. That was his whole gig. I mean, he tells a story about how backstage before some show, a fan brought him some dude who wanted to be fisted, and his buddy said, well, his buddies in the band says, well, you got to do it. You said you'd do anything. So they kept throwing fucking shit at him to make him do it, because he had once boasted he would do anything. And he, in a perversion, you know, weird perversions and shit was his fucking trademark, all on the back of that damn boast that he made.
But that's not the same thing as rape or like abusing your girlfriends, which is what the allegations were.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay, because there was all kinds.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that. Yeah. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about like some non-consensual shit and him beating the crap out of some of his girlfriends. Okay. They're talking about that. So I guess he was in one or was going to be in one and they didn't show it. And then one of the ones was carried over, like they showed that last Christmas because they wanted something to show over Christmas time. So that's why there's only 5 this time. Now, I don't know if one of the stories, because this episode, which is the finale, is only 1 story, because normally there are 2. So I don't know if it was set out that it was only supposed to be 1 story, or if it was supposed to be 2 and then they cut the other one out. I don't know. But so, yeah. So this one is actually called, what is the name of it? It's called Night of the Living Late Show.
Yeah.
Which is a little, it's a weird title, because when you think late show, you think like Conan O'Brien or David Letterman or whoever the fuck is on, does late night talk shows now. But it's not that. So it's basically this dude named Simon, and he's played by Justin Long, who you said he was familiar. That's because he was in Tusk.
Okay.
Yeah. He was in Jeepers Creepers. He's been in a ton of other shit too, but that's probably where you recognize him from.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in Tusk. So he plays this inventor, you're presuming, and he has invented this thing. It's obviously a tanning bed, but it's like a VR machine where you can get in there and you can install yourself into pretty much any movie that you want to put yourself into, and it's just like being in the real environment, except it's in the movie, right? So he's invented that, and his favorite movie in all the land is Horror Express, the 1972 film starring Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, and Telly Savalas, which actually might be on Shudder in its entirety. I feel like it's kind of like a forgotten movie a little bit. Maybe this episode will get more people to watch it, because I like that movie a lot. But so that's his favorite movie. One of the reasons being that, well, one, because it was the first one that his dad took him to, like the first grown-up movie. And two, because he's always had the hots ever since he was a kid for the chick that played the Countess in the movie, right? So I think the whole point of him going into the movie was to try and get with the Countess inside the movie. So that's essentially what he does. Now, he's also married to this woman named Renee. And Renee is, they haven't been married that long, right? Because I think they have a conversation where she's been less than a year or something like that. So it hasn't been that long a time. But you find out later that it's possible that Simon just married Renee for her money, because he wanted money to fund his invention shit. And she's maybe kind of questioning her decision to marry him now, because he's spending all her money and he's going into the movie to make the move on the Countess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting, because this is why I ask if maybe this was supposed to be shorter, because they use a lot of footage from Horror Express and also from Night of the Living Dead, like at the end. I know that's in the public domain. I'm assuming Horror Express is also in the public domain because they use so much of it. And it almost seems a little bit like, I really did like this episode, but it did seem like they use a lot of footage from that movie, almost like they were trying to like pad it out to make it longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you get that vibe?
Kind
of. A little bit.
I like this one, though. This is one of the better episodes.
I thought so, too.
It's more movie-like.
It's not real gory. It's not gory. It's more like a psychological.
There's also not a lot of content to it. I mean, it's a very simple premise.
Yeah.
But at least it was visual.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was cool. He was in a VR experience with inside a movie. I thought it was pretty neat. So it set up a good tone. I think I'd rather have one good episode than two half-ass episodes now though.
That's true.
Seeing this, you know what I'm talking about? Some of those half episodes were kind of half-ass too.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, the thing about it is that, I don't know, because some stories work better as really short stories.
Real short, other ones don't.
Whereas some of them you need, you know, 40 minutes, you need an hour to tell, like, the whole story. The only thing I might say about this one, because I, you know, as I said, yes, it seemed like a lot of footage from Night of the Living Dead and a lot of footage from Horror Express was used, but that didn't really bother me that much because I always liked Horror Express, so I'm just kind of like, it's kind of neat seeing, like,
T showed up.
Seeing him incorporated into the old movie.
T showed up. T, I posted a bunch of videos on my Instagram of me and Jenny fucking around at night at the club with friends of ours and stuff. And Aurora being suspended by hooks. That's good. That was a pretty good one, too. Her and her friend. So, I don't know. I know you don't. You claim not to have social media, but if you find 13 o'clock on Instagram. It will probably lead to my Instagram too, just Thomas Ross, and I got them all put up there, and you can check them out.
Yeah, they're fun.
And they might be on my actually, they're on my Facebook also.
Oh, okay. Well, then
yeah,
because
I had them linked, so they should be up there too.
Yeah, it goes. Well, yeah, you said it went to both.
They're
things.
Linked, yeah.
Right.
So I'm getting comments on both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The videos of your boobs and shit have been a hit, and videos of fucking Aurora dancing and showing her ass was a hit.
Well, so, obviously.
Them girls, that girl's getting comments from my Brazilian friends. Brazilian bikers and shit going, hell yeah. and ex-Army Rangers and stuff.
Well, there
Ed Dunham from, what's his name, from A Haunting. He was in one of the episodes from A Haunting. He made a comment. He's like, wow, man, you know, fucking you and your crowd, you know, he fucking wants to hang out.
Like, well, he lives
around here. Yeah.
Yeah. We saw him. He was working up the street.
He's one of the dudes that talks a lot of shit, but never goes anywhere though. Just stays up in the house.
A lot of people do.
He's like that.
Yeah. I got to do that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hang out. That dude never comes out. Sit around watching TV, fucking gaining weight.
Like I said, he only lives around. He lives right around here. Like not even that. Only like a mile or two from us, right?
Yeah.
Or he used to.
I don't know where he lives now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah, he's from. He had an episode in like season one or two of A Haunting, and it was called A Haunting in Daytona, right?
No, it was Deltona.
Deltona.
Well, it was called A Haunting in Florida.
A Haunting in Florida. Yeah.
But it was Deltona, which is between Daytona and Orlando.
Yeah, and that's about him. It's a good episode. That's how I met him. I fucking talked to him first online, and then I went down to the hardware store to go get something, and the guy's helping me fucking pick out nuts and bolts and shit to build this fucking Buell motor I was working on at the time. And I turn around and goes, dude, you look real familiar. And I go, you're Ed Dunham. He goes, yeah. He goes, you're from A Haunting. He goes, yeah, yeah. So I talked to you on the phone and online. So yeah. So we started talking. Yeah, he's an ex-Army Ranger. Yeah,
small world.
He's from a Ranger bat. Yeah, 75th Infantry.
Yeah, his house was haunted.
That was a
good episode, actually.
Saw a dude sitting on his fucking bed smoking a cigar. He was all wet and filthy and shit. And he goes, get out of this house. Get out of here. He thought it was a real person. The dude stood up and vanished. And then he could hear somebody walking across the top of fucking the roof. And they ran out of that house, fucking left all their belongings behind. It was a pretty good story. He swears up and down that it happened. I don't doubt him, man. I fucking had my poltergeist experience. But his was ghost. His was haunting. It wasn't poltergeist. But it had poltergeist elements. His kids saw it, too. He had a couple of sons and a wife at that time. I think he's got more kids now. More wives.
More kids, more wives.
Yeah.
A whole house full of wives
up
in here.
Yeah, he got more kids and more wives. And he left that. He broke up with that wife.
I think they were even broken up when they did the show.
I think when they did the show, they were kind of on the outs. Yeah.
Yeah. Down the Bomb says, hey, here's something I didn't know. Horror Express was based on the short story used to make the Thing movies. So yeah. I guess Who Goes There? That's the name of that story. Yeah. I did not realize that, actually. But now that you say that, I can see it. But yeah, so this was actually a good episode. I think somebody pointed out Greg Nicotero directed it, as you know, he directed a lot of the other ones too. This was written by Dana Gould, who actually, I knew him, shit, man. I used to see his stand up because he used to be a stand up comedian. He used to be on Comedy Central all the time, like back in the 90s. And then he went into screenwriting and shit like that. So I think he might have written... He wrote some other shit, too. And I remember he starred in one of the episodes of Creepshow from the first season. The one that was called Skin Crawlers. Like the one about the... that diet clinic that you ate the, you know, the parasite.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like, ate all your fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that one,
too. There are other ways to do that, though.
Well, duh, obviously, but that's kind of like what the story was.
Yeah, the fitness feeds all into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You inject something and all of a sudden burst all your fat.
Eating the tapeworms, yeah. But that was a good episode. I just rewatched that one not too long ago, and I was like, wow, that was like really disgusting. I loved it.
Inject that test, you start sweating out that bacon grease. Tila loves it when I was talking about bacon grease.
So gross.
Yeah. I went to go change the bed sheets, and my side of the fucking sheets were fucking gray. Gray oil.
I don't know. I have to wash
them. Her sides look fucking clean. My side was just a round
oil. Yeah, because I'm not like
just
a disgusting
filth pot. Sweating out all that damn fat.
I'm not like a disgusting filth pot like you are.
Yeah. It's chemically induced.
Well, that doesn't make
Dude,
it any
touch
better.
It. Touch it.
No, see, he touch does it. That all the time. He was doing fucking... that. He was doing that to me at Mannequins that night too. And he's like, because he was like all kind of like greasy. And he's like, touch it. Yeah. I'm like, fuck.
She's like, yeah, she goes, you look so greasy. And I was like, no.
Like, it's gross.
I know.
I'm like, then I have to go wash my hands. I don't want to fucking do that.
Just fucking, you don't have to burn fat when you just sweat it out.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you remember back in the, I guess it was maybe the 90s. Remember when they had that shit? What the hell was that stuff called? That, it was like a fat substitute that they put in everything.
Yeah, the fucking that was in the chips.
That gave you, yeah. Olestra. That's Olestra, what it was called. Yeah. I knew it was something like that. Olestra, and it would give you like anal leakage. Oh, like that was one of the, yeah, so like all the fat was coming out your butt.
This shit just comes out of your fucking skin.
Tom was trying to do grease wrestling, said Tila.
Fuck you people.
You just brought it up.
Fuck you bitches. It's just, she was making fun. You look so greasy. And I said,
you
yeah.
did.
Yeah, I did, but I look fucking good though. Couldn't tell in the dark.
Well, it wasn't, I didn't notice until we went outside. Like, we went out front.
We went out front, that fucking light was shining on me.
Because we were talking about our
friend. Shining
front.
My dad. That shit straight from fucking Omega Man.
Shine the body.
Shine the body, yeah.
Oh my God.
Fucking getting. It's just a natural biological process.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's your story and you're sticking to it.
Man. Hey, man. You can start seeing that fucking six pack. Six pack now. You wait for a couple more months, Jenny.
Okay.
You're going to be jealous of that six pack.
Not really. I don't want
that shit. I'm gonna fucking do one of them fucking Chippendales dance like that. You're gonna see.
You have an active fantasy life, Thomas.
It's gonna bring those fucking urges out of you.
Okay.
I have to buy a fireman outfit.
Why fireman?
My gladiator costume. Put that shit on.
Yeah, I like the gladiator idea. That's,
yeah, I'm
gonna get
a gladiator costume.
You're
fucking
that'd
right.
be kind of funny.
Hell yeah.
I want to see you in a skirt.
Yeah, leather one. With greaves and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shield and a fucking helmet. Dress up like a goddamn Mermillo. Or a Secutor. Yeah, it was like, yeah.
Yeah. DJ Maniac says, Dana Gould was also the showrunner for The Simpsons for a while. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Pat Hatfield said, Skin Crawlers was my favorite episode from season one. Yeah, when I rewatched some of season one not too long ago, and I had forgotten how fucking great that episode was. It was just so, so good. Yeah, Karen Ropp says, The Stuff. Man, we need to review that. That is such a ridiculous movie.
That's just fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I remember seeing it back when it first came out, like back in the 80s. Yeah, and on cable, and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
It was fucking crazy back then, but...
Well, it's a satire.
Yeah, that movie played real well back in the 80s, you know, especially for its time and for a young audience of that time. because it was just, like I said, it was a satire of the whole horror monster movie thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like The Blob, but it was like also Blob. It was also making fun of like the health industry.
Yeah, and also like corporate propaganda.
That too.
And all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Advertising campaigns and shit. It was cool. It was cool.
Yeah,
but I liked it. We didn't have internet, so you didn't have a bunch of nerds sitting picking things apart. So if something kind of sucked a little bit, you didn't really get negative input. The online community could not turn you against something like they can do it now. So you saw, everything you saw was like in isolation, or you saw it with you and your friends. And if your friends liked it, then you liked it. And we did not look too deeply into things. It was just very superficial shit. It all came and went pretty quickly. Every month there was more of them. So, you know, there was only some of them that were classic we kept going back to. Like all the fucking Reanimator ones and the From Beyond ones, all the stuff with Jeffrey Combs. We'd watch that a lot.
I mean, you gotta love Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, Jeffrey Combs.
I'll watch movies, him in anything.
We'd watch him a lot.
Tila said, I've never seen this stuff. Is that Cronenberg? No, it's actually Larry Cohen, the same guy that did It's Alive, the Killer Baby movie, Cue the Winged Serpent, God Told Me To, which I think we reviewed. It was that guy.
It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
It's funny, but...
Yeah, it's like a comedy, but...
And it's all practical effects. It's kind of like The Blob.
Yeah. Man, we need to do the remake of The Blob, too, because I really, really liked that. Camp Guy says there is a funny essay on the net about side effects of whatever they called that fat thingy, the Elektra.
Yeah.
That kind of, I don't know why, but that just reminded me of the classic set of reviews for those sugar-free gummy bears that everyone was saying, like, gave them the apocalyptic shits. Yeah. Oh, my God, so funny.
Yeah, the gummy bears. The sugar-free gummy bears.
Because it's got that sugar substitute in it that is kind of like a laxative. And I guess if you eat a lot of them, you'll regret it.
I haven't tried them.
I haven't either. That's just what I've heard.
I'd be willing to take that experiment.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
he'll eat a 5-pound bag of sugar-free gummy bears, and then he'll be in the bathroom like screaming for like several hours. That would be really funny. Look at Amanda just said, "Holy shit! I'm cleaning my house while watching this, and I just found a bag with almost $500 in it."
Oh shit! You're rich.
First, I never keep cash. Second, how does one not notice $500 missing? I wonder where that came from.
One of your friends must have. Holy left it over shit. There. If it's not yours, it's somebody who knows you.
Maybe the poltergeist
lost her
it.
Drug money. Couldn't go to the law to ask about it. I lost $500. Where'd you get the money from? Well, I can't answer that question.
I'm pleading the fifth on that, officer. DJ Maniac, Apocalyptic Shits. I think I did a show with them. That should be a band name, right?
Yeah. T's always adding things to her list, and then half the time she never gets back with us because she never watches it.
Well, the thing I have a list too, but it's like, and every time I look, you know, on all the streaming services we have, because I look every week, like for new movies to put into the polls or whatever. And it's like I'm like, oh, they added that. Oh, they added that one. Oh, no. And it's like, then I have to add that to the list. I have like 40 bajillion movies on that list. And I was saying today, I said, I'm never going to live long enough to watch all this.
See Repo Genetic Opera and get back with us. You're going to like that one. If you like musicals.
I've been wanting to review that one, actually.
We need to review that.
We can do that on one of the matinees, I guess, if we didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Camp Guy said one rule was carry brown clothes with you and extra change at all times. Brown clothes.
Dang.
Ew. Do you remember, like, back in the old days, they used to have those really funny commercials for laxatives? I can't remember which laxative. Was it Dulcolax or... I don't know what it was. But I just remember... the tagline was, you never know where you'll be when your laxative starts working. And then they show like this sad dude, like sitting in a rowboat, like out in the middle of the fucking ocean or whatever. And he just looks at the camera and he's like, uh-oh. And it's like, for some reason that used to like really just make me laugh. I don't know.
What T said.
Where?
Right there.
Tom, have you watched Sisters yet? Let's make a deal. Watch that and I'll watch Repo.
Which one was Sisters?
The Brian De Palma one. Actually, you know what? I am going to watch that either today or tomorrow because I'm going to do a Flickers of Fear on it.
Which one is Sisters?
It's Brian De Palma.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Margot Kidder, isn't it?
Okay.
She plays, it's from the 70s.
Okay.
She plays, I've seen it before, but it's been like several years.
Was it a horror movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a horror thriller. Okay. Yeah, kind of like it. And she plays twins.
Okay. Oh, shit. I love that. That's got two Margot Kidders in it?
It's two Margot Kidders,
Well, that woman was just Man, since I was a kid, there's just something slutty about her. Slutty and attractive. When I was a little kid, I was like, man, I fucking want, I want. I can't understand it. I wouldn't even fucking, it wouldn't even, you know, 7, 8 years old, 9 years old. You know, I hadn't even hit puberty, and I'd see fucking women like Margot Kidder and shit. I was trying to get that. I was like, man, I wish I could have that.
Yeah, it's on, it's just, like I said, I added it to my Flickers of Fear thing because Shudder has it, but the UK Shudder has it. So you have to, like, go through the VPN.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can watch it on there. Although maybe we can find it somewhere else, like on Amazon Prime or something. I just saw that Shudder UK had it. But we'll see. If you want to watch it with me, you can watch it with me.
All right.
You can even do a review with it if you want to. I don't care. But, yeah. So what were we talking about? Okay, so we were talking about Creepshow. Like I said, this is a good finale. It seemed like they used a lot of footage from Horror Express, and it almost seemed like they were trying to make it longer. Also, I kind of wish they had done, like, a little bit more, maybe a little bit more character development, because it did seem kind of strange that they'd been married for a year, and his wife didn't really, know what he was working on, or didn't really notice it. Nice house in that fucking shit, though. I like the indoor pools.
Yeah, they're saying it's a story about a good twin and a bad twin.
Yeah.
And I guess they're both hotties. That kind of reminds me of I Dream of Jeannie. Remember how Jeannie had an evil twin? Remember that with the dark hair? What was her name? Somebody might remember what her name was.
Oh, I feel like I know this.
And then they would try to impersonate each other. And Jeannie's evil twin would show up. She had black hair or brown hair instead, wore green.
But
then she would impersonate Jeannie. That was some fun. And the same thing happened on Bewitched. There, that Sam had a fucking. Didn't somebody impersonate Samantha? Same way.
I don't remember. Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of that.
Bewitched was always trying to rip off I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, Louis said that was Bewitched.
Bewitched.
But did I?
No, they did it on both shows.
Oh, did they?
They did it on both shows.
I don't remember. I haven't seen those since I was a kid.
Yep.
Well, that's a pretty common thing, like the good evil twin trope.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that going back to fucking The Parent Trap or whatever, you know, with Haley Mills.
Yeah.
Notice they always make the bad one with dark hair. Yeah, they do.
Well, the
black hat, white hat.
This was back in the day. Back in the day, where, you know what I mean, like, you know, the ideal fucking. Ideal white wife was fucking blonde hair, blue eyed. I kind of wanted that Aryan Nordic look to them. That was like the ideal. So of course, you know what I mean. Now, it's not to say that fucking, you know, dark haired brunette is not attractive. Also, they knew that. It's just that they were trying to appeal to Middle America. Middle America was blonde hair, blue eyed wannabes. Most of them were fucking dyed.
Well,
dyed blonde, but you know that was in style then.
Pat said Pandora Spox was the character from Bewitched.
Okay. Pandora.
Pandora.
Yeah, that's right. Pandora. It sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds like the name that they would give her.
Right. I think you're right.
Because, you know, Pandora's Box and all that.
I remember those shows as being fun. I'd like to see them again. They're probably annoying as hell to watch now.
You never know. They might have held up really well. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen them since I was a kid, so I don't really know.
Anytime I go back and watch old television from the 80s, even the 90s, it's almost unwatchable because it's just so formulaic and so canned. It feels very artificial compared to just people on YouTube. YouTube, I think, started with reality TV came. That was an improvement, even though it wasn't reality.
Yeah.
And then YouTube became like the ultimate reality shows, and it just seems a lot better. You go back and you watch some people. I was analyzing some of the performances by fucking great actors and stuff and performers. And it's so obviously a false theatrical performance. It does kind of get on you. You know what I mean? It seems very artificial and fake. It's almost like you're looking at kabuki.
Yeah.
Or old opera.
Well, acting styles come and go.
They come and go, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think the reason why a lot of people can't really hang with really old movies, like from the 20s, 30s, 40s, was because they were still carryover from live theater.
Yeah.
So everything was just big gestures and big, you know, everything was kind of overdone.
Yeah.
And then when kind of the 60s and 70s came along, you got more of your like cinema verite, like more of a realistic.
Yeah.
Like people were trying to act like.
Yeah. And the original Star Trek started to look really out of date, you know, very quickly. Like, I love old Star Trek, but that those acting styles are very out of style.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore, unless someone's parodying it.
Right.
I mean, now it seems like an actor is trying to vanish into the role, is trying to be that role. They're not trying to, you know what I mean?
What was weird is that Star Trek, the original series, was so different from Star Trek, the movies, with William Shatner and everything. The tone was very different, but they were able to modernize it. It did work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The acting styles were very different.
Yeah, Fourth Row Down just said, I've watched reruns of MASH, and the canned laughter is intolerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish they hadn't done that, because I really think it kind of ruins the experience. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there has taken, like, good shows from the past and taken the laugh track out, I would hope.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I would dare you to try to sit through an episode of Three's Company. I bet it's probably unwatchable. I tried to watch an episode of All in the Family and just couldn't. I was like, oh no, I can't take this. Same thing, laugh tracks and just what we consider to be bad acting and bad writing, kind of. They, even though I had fond memories of it, but you go back and watch it and it's just, it's intolerable.
Well, everything is very, like you said, formulaic, and everything is obviously, you know, like a setup for a joke, you know what I mean? It's not like organic. It doesn't flow really organically.
What aged well were the off the cuff game shows? Hollywood Squares from the 70s.
Those are still fun.
They're still fun. The Liars Club. That's still funny. It's on there. And it's because that was like the beginning of reality TV. You know, they were obviously drunk doing those fucking shows. And they're drinking and shit. They'd cut to some dude and you could see him hiding his glass. And fucking get back to doing the game show and shit. Hide his fucking drink glass, put that shit
on. Not gin, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking funny. And then you hear the crowd laughing, the live crowd laughing. He hit his fucking drink. This shit was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
Buddy Hackett, drunk off his ass on the Liars Club. Barely able to fucking get out. Barely able to fucking talk. That's what it is. It's a gynecological thing. It goes up and they, you know, they're all laughing. Shit like that, you know.
I wonder, did any of them ever vomit on the show when they had like just discreetly kind of like over the side?
They record a bunch of them at once and they couldn't stay sober all that time.
Yeah, I think they did like 4 episodes a day or something. Well, they do.
Maybe more.
I think they still do that like with shorter game shows like Jeopardy and shit like that. I think they do 4 of those a day. Like they film 4 of them a day.
Yeah. So, you know, guys like Buddy Hackett and fucking, what's his name? Fucking Paul Lynde and fucking Hollywood Squares. Man, we're going to keep them sober. You weren't going to be able to keep them sober all that time.
They're like, what? I have to sit here for like 6 hours?
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
That?
Fuck
without
that.
A drink. You know, fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
That was the '70s, man.
I kind of feel like that too. It's like, you know what I mean?
Fuck all that.
I was like, if I'm going to sit here and watch 2 movies, like, you know, you can damn well bet I'm going to drink. Yeah. Well, I wanted to say too, it's just apropos of nothing. I also started watching Shudder just added, not only the finale of Creepshow, but they also just added In Search of Darkness Part 2, which of you guys, I think we reviewed the first one, and it's a massively long documentary about 80s horror, and the first one was really, really good, and I started watching the second one last night, and I watched about, I don't even think I got to the, I got like 2 hours in, and I was like, okay, I'm falling asleep, I can't watch the whole thing, because I'd watched something else beforehand, but yeah, I definitely want to watch the rest of that too, because I love that they're talking about, they started talking about like lesser known, because this is the second one, they can talk about like kind of lesser known movies from the 80s, because I feel like, you know, the first one they kind of covered all the big all the big ticket ones and all the trends that were going on in the 80s and talked to like about all the special effects and shit. They talked to Tom Savini and whatnot, but this one they can kind of focus a little bit more on lesser known examples of the genre, so you know what I mean. So they're talking about like they talked about some of Lucio Fulci's stuff, they talked about Inferno, they talked about Dead and Buried, they talked about Evil Speak, for Christ's sake, which we reviewed, so it's cool that, you know, Humanoids from the Deep, I think, I'm trying to think of some other ones that they, that I was kind of surprised that they covered, Mother's Day, so I think I'm at 83, because it goes each year, and then they talk about a selection of movies that came out that year, like trends that were going on in that year, and I think I made it up to 1983, or maybe 1984, and then I had to stop because I was falling asleep. But I definitely want to watch the rest of that at some point.
Louis this week. Louis chimes in and says, yep, Tom's right. Don't watch shows you liked as a kid. Nothing good can come of it. Somebody mentioned that, Morticia Adams had a twin sister who was blonde, who was supposed to be the good sister. But then Tila says, yeah, but if you notice that the bad sister is always super memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something to that because the bad girl's usually sexier.
Yeah.
Like, I preferred the fucking bad version of Jeannie.
Yeah.
She was a lot naughtier. She was kind of a 60-second cool chick, you know? She's trying to get in motherfuckers' pants and shit. I like that better.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's always going to be more fun to hang out with somebody a little bit.
Right, look, got some spice.
Yeah, and that'll go out and do fun, fun bad shit with you.
Amanda talks about Carol Burnett's show. It was loaded with laugh tracks. Yeah, it was.
It was still funny though. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett was super funny.
It seemed to be at the time. I haven't watched it in a long
time. Me and my
grandma
used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. I have no idea what it was. I imagine shows like The Love Boat and Fantasy Island are now totally unwatchable.
I kind of wonder every now and then I kind of get an idea that I should watch like an old Fantasy Island. Cause I remember some of those being like kind of creepy.
Some of them were like 12
to a
though.
Kid.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, maybe I should go back and watch it. Especially after we watched that Blumhouse Fantasy Island. I was like, maybe I should go back and watch some of the old shows and see what they're like.
We saw that one in the theater. I was mildly entertained. But
I
heard somebody say that there's a longer edit of it that they released on Blu-ray. They said it's a lot better.
Well, I imagine, because it does seem like it was PG-13, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's probably like a lot of gore that they took out.
Yeah.
I imagine.
It's better.
That's kind of what they do. If they have to compromise by releasing a PG-13 into the theater for a wider audience, then later they can also release a Blu-ray that has the longer cut with all the gore on it and everybody's happy. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Louis Hernandez says, remember Kit's evil twin, Cole Carr? I don't remember that.
I don't remember
I didn't watch Knight Rider.
I saw some of them, but I didn't see the whole. I didn't see the whole run.
Yeah.
Andy Warhol once appeared on The Love Boat. I vaguely remember that. I'm sure that was probably a pretty surreal episode.
Yeah.
That dude was so fucking weird. Now I got to YouTube. I'm going to go fucking check that out now. All right. Yeah, Pat says, who says Love Boat and Fantasy Island were watchable when they were new?
They were watchable when you were a kid.
Love Boat was pretty insufferable even back then. I liked Fantasy Island.
I watched them as a kid when they came out. But I also watched $6 Million Man, and I also watched fucking Bionic Bigfoot and loved it. So we're not saying much, you know what I mean? Fucking Bionic Bigfoot. And it turned out Bigfoot was bionic. You didn't know that at the time. You just see $6 Million Man confronting Bigfoot. And this is at a time when Sasquatch was like a reality for a kid. Oh, there, you know there's a Bigfoot. Because adults talked about it.
Yeah.
So you know that we were worried about running into it.
Even Leonard Nimoy said that there was a Bigfoot on In Search of.
Shit, we'd go out in the backyard, we'd be in the middle of Long Beach, California, afraid that we might run into Bigfoot.
Aw.
Well, it's because we saw this bum. And we had this bum that used to fucking walk down Alameda.
All the best stories start, and then we saw this bum.
And then we saw this bum, yeah. There was this dude that we used to call, my parents used to call him, and everybody else on the block used to call him the Alameda Wild Man. All right. The Alameda.
I don't think I've heard this story.
Yeah. Fucking Jackson Street in fucking Carson ended at a place called Alameda Boulevard. And on the other side of the boulevard was a fucking railroad track. Went and it fed all these industries that are probably not there anymore. And this guy will walk down that fucking railroad track, up and down it all day long. And they called him the Alameda Wild Man. He looked just like Bigfoot.
Wow.
And we didn't know how old he was. He's evidently still alive. And it's still called the Alameda Wild Man.
Maybe he is Bigfoot.
He was young then. We didn't know he was young.
Couldn't tell under all the hair.
Under that hair and all that dirt. Okay. He was a white dude. All right. But you couldn't tell because he just fucking caked on oil all over his fucking face like motor oil with dirt on that because he was sleeping up on them train tracks.
Yeah.
All right. And his hair was fucking went way up here and his beard went all the way down to here. And he was wearing just filthy fucking army clothes, and he was a Vietnam veteran. It turned out that's what he was. He had come back from Vietnam and said fuck it and just lived on the damn railroad tracks, and he was on his wearing his army field jacket. My dad talked to him once. He was coherent, but he was just fucking nuts.
Yeah. You
know, he was Rambo. But we called him the Alameda Wild Man. And he's evidently still alive.
That's crazy.
So my dad didn't know how old he was, but my mother's friend who lived on that block is still alive. My mother talked to her recently, and she wants, well, you know, this is in the past couple of years, and she told me that the Alameda Wild Man is still alive and walks up and down Alameda Boulevard.
So, wow, so he's been doing that for that many decades?
Yeah, still living down in there. So he must be in his 70s now, but he's still alive. And sometimes you'd see him with a dog, and sometimes he wouldn't have a dog, and then sometimes he'd have another dog, and sometimes he'd have two dogs. Sometimes the dogs would be on ropes. So he'd make little dog friends and shit.
Make little dog friends.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd eat them or what, but, you know, he had little dog.
Oh, jeez, don't say that.
I don't know what he's doing. He had little dog friends. That was the Alameda Wild Man. If anybody lives out in Carson, you know, you probably can then drop it in the comment section and tell me the last time you saw the Alameda Wild Man. He looked like Bigfoot.
Now you need to look that up on YouTube, because probably somebody's been, like, filming him.
Yeah, he looked like Bigfoot from $6 Million Man. We saw him. It fucking freaked us out.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, like a Sasquatch. He looked huge to us. We were little kids.
Yeah.
But he was probably, you know, 5'8".
If y'all had been on the ball, you could have made like a little documentary about
him. No,
like,
since you saw me.
Like watching him from the bushes, like a fucking David Attenborough or something.
Well, we were over there and had forgotten about him. And we were behind something and came around, and there he was, you know, at a close range walking towards us. All right. So we just screamed and ran. Ran across Alameda Boulevard, fucking through the traffic and shit and everything. But no, we used to see him from a distance all the time.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's my story.
Fourth Jordan is talking about $6 Million Man, and he says, I remember an episode called Death Probe, which that's pretty funny right there, which Steve Austin beat up a trash can.
What? I ain't buying that until I get some more background. Beat up a trash can. It must have been a robot. A robot that he was fighting, and they made it, and it was kind of shaped like a trash can, is what he's talking about.
Or someone was in the trash can at the time.
Kind of like that Star Trek, the one with the fucking, you know, that which will survive. Now, what was the one fucking, you know, where the little... It's kind of like Voyager probe. It's kind of like the V'ger probe.
Well,
Nomad.
Nomad, yeah.
Nomad, yeah. Nomad, must survive.
Yeah.
Sterilize. I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember that one vividly because Mystery Science Theater did one of their host segments. They parodied that.
Yeah.
Where they had one that came on the Satellite of Love, and it was called Monad. And he kept like threatening to wipe out Mike and the bots because they were imperfect.
But they
were able to like fool him, and he had to blow himself up. But yeah, I can't remember what episode that was, but they did a lot of Star Trek parodies on Mystery Science Theater. A lot. They did a Mirror Universe episode. They did all that. But yeah,
Taylor's in there laughing, but I don't know what she's laughing at.
A possessed trash can.
Yeah. Has to do with bombs and... Okay, she lives in California, you know, and she's going, the Cali homeless are full of Sasquatch looking motherfuckers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
this is back in the 70s, though. They were more rare back then. Scared the shit out of us.
It's a very funny story.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that it's not sad that he's still alive. It's just sad that he's still doing it. But I don't know. Maybe he's happy doing that.
You're just living on the railroad tracks.
Didn't Andre the Giant fight the greatest American hero also?
Yeah, he probably did.
Because Andre the Giant played Bigfoot, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant. You remember him?
Yeah.
He was in The Princess Bride also.
Yeah. He died.
He did, yeah. He died fairly young, I thought.
Yeah, we had giantism.
Yeah, I kind of feel like a lot of people that have that don't live long. All right. So do we have anything else that we need to discuss?
No, that's it.
Okay. We've been going almost like 50 minutes.
Yeah, I got to wash my face.
You gotta watch out all the baking grease. It's making the grease come out of your pores. You're lubricated.
Yeah. It's just gonna run like this too, you know what I mean? Just gotta like deal with it.
He's just
Maybe, you know.
He's going to walk through the house leaving like a trail of grease like behind him in the air.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes. It's not constant.
I'm just fucking with you, Tom.
Sometimes I'll be burning up, man. I'll be laying in bed and I'm fucking burning up. I'll touch it like in fucking, I feel like I'm in like dog years. Like I'm in dog heat. You know, you touch the dog, it's like hot. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. I'm burning up.
You got all kind of problems.
Yeah. Having all kinds of sexual problems. Yeah, of course. You're gonna, yeah. Man's going to have sexual problems.
Oh, man.
High testosterone levels, yeah. Might have to choke a bitch. Yeah. Where is he?
I put him back over next to HH Holmes so they could, like, confer.
No, I don't want to hand out too many of these BTK, too many free BTK impersonations and shit. Y'all got to pay for them. We can get super chats, so.
Louis said, Tom's in heat.
Yeah.
Tom, just spray on your brute and it's all good.
It comes and goes. It's not steady.
Yeah. Tila says, a horror movie about a couple camping in search of Bigfoot. It's pretty good. Can't recall the name, though. Fourth Throwdown, yeah, I think it is Willow Creek, actually. That is actually a pretty good movie. That's not the only Bigfoot movie, but because they made Boggy Creek. That was
the Boggy Creek. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if we mentioned this on another show, but Boggy Creek, the legend of Boggy Creek, they kind of did an investigation to figure out where that came from. It was a story made up a long time ago, probably in the 30s, and it was made up evidently to keep black people away. That's evidently what it was.
We saw that Dan Bell went up there.
Yeah.
To Arkansas.
Right.
And they were talking about the Boggy Creek creature.
Yeah.
Legend.
Ain't that some shit? Why people in the 30s make up a monster story to keep black people away?
That's so Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like racist Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I don't put it past the fucking thinking of the 20s, though, in the 30s.
That sounds like some shit.
Whether it worked or not, it probably didn't work.
I don't imagine it did. I mean, that seems really dumb. Yeah. It seems like the kind of dumb idea they come up with, but not an idea that would work in any large capacity.
It sounds like an idea that they would have come up with in the 20s or the 30s, centered around a general store. You know what I mean? Like a store owner where everybody met up in that area, and maybe they would probably post things on the fucking, you know, like on the community billboard,
right?
I mean? Monster sightings and shit. You know what I mean? And then they would all tell each other, this will keep the black people away.
Everybody knows how they're scared of big, hairy humanoids.
Scared of hairy humanoids in the dark.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, they're scared of the dark. It's probably.
I mean, we're just saying, like I said, Dan Bell did a thing where he went to Arkansas and he was talking about the Boggy Creek movie, which, like I said, that was based on a real legend in Arkansas. It was kind of like a Bigfoot and or like Skunk Ape in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's what some of the locals told him that's where the legend came from originally.
It sounds very plausible.
But that totally does sound
small
like
small town making up fucking stories.
Yeah, it's some little backwater like Arkansas town.
Yeah.
That I've heard the first Boggy Creek movie is good. I saw it when I was a kid, but I don't really remember much about it. Charles B. Pierce. But the Boggy Creek 2 and The Legend Continues, which I think is actually the third Boggy Creek movie, was on Mystery Science Theater, and it's so terrible, but it is so delightful. That's like one of the best MST episodes. It's so, so funny.
All right, read off what T said.
Where? Tila, I got time today, so I'll do Repo and Legend of Boggy Creek today and report back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You can report on Sisters, Tom. I don't know. I was going to do like a recorded review of it, but you can talk about it a little bit on the live show too if you want to. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
You can see Boggy Creek? That's fun.
Wait, the first one is decent.
Yeah.
The second one, which is actually the third one, which is called And the Legend Continues, is awful. But if you see the Mystery Science Theater episode, the Mystery Science Theater episode is a fucking riot.
Yeah, if you see the first one, Legend of Boggy Creek, you might want to see a Mystery Science Theater version of it first.
Yeah.
Because then they're bagging on the movie, too, as it's happening. It is a very dated movie. It's a homemade movie. It's made pretty well for the budget. The guy who is making this movie, he puts himself in the lead role and his son as his right-hand man in this fucking movie to hunt down Bigfoot. And of course, he's got two 70s hotties with him. Or early 80s. Late 70s or early 80s.
Because I think the movie came out in the 80s.
In the early 80s.
But it still looks kind of
70s. So it's his fucking middle-aged ass with his fucking young son who's a teenager with these two fucking hotties in their 20s all going out looking for Bigfoot. His son's never got a damn shirt on through the whole movie.
It's the craziest shit.
It's the craziest shit ever.
And he's not like ripped or anything. No, he's not ripped. He's kind of scrawny.
He's skin and bones. Okay. And then it's just so fucking implausible, the whole movie. And then they end up hanging out with a fucking southern fucking swamp rat dude who's Cletus. Who's like, isn't he Cletus?
That was, no, it's not Cletus. He's Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, that's right. And Crenshaw actually is the highlight of the movie. He really is. That's my kind of woman right there.
I kind of love Crenshaw. Yeah, yeah.
And he's just a stereotypical fucking swamp rat, all right?
He might be playing himself.
You never can tell that
he's playing himself.
You don't can't tell if it's real or if it's
or if it's exaggerated. It's hard to tell.
His idea of a costume is just putting some grease on his head to make him look.
Well, he has like this big like rubber band thing on his head, and he has overalls with no shirt underneath. But one of the overall things is undone always.
And all he does is keep looking at one of those hotties and goes, "Boy, that's my kind of woman." And she looks like Linda Ronstadt.
A little bit.
Cross between Linda Ronstadt and the lead singer of Journey.
But Crenshaw, he's got the chaw.
Yeah.
He's got like, he's so fucking funny. And there's another thing too, that a couple of times, like they tell other local stories about seeing the Boggy Creek creature. And one of the stories is pretty gross because it has to do with this dude that was in the outhouse.
Yeah.
And then saw the Boggy Creek creature and then like put his leg through the outhouse and it's like the grossest fucking shit you've ever seen. It's all just like this crass, disgusting.
Yeah.
Like lowbrow.
It's watchable on its own.
It is.
It's watchable. It's not bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad, but it's entertaining. But I think that the MST3K or the Mystery Science Theater version of it, where you got the robots making fun of it at the same time, I think it's even better.
That's one of my favorite episodes, actually, because there's just so much
pretty funny
for them to riff on. It's just it's delightful. It's funny because that we got to talk about Boggy Creek, of all things, because the guy that directed it and was in that movie, Charles B. Pierce, he also directed The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is the movie that we're going to do on the retrospective this week. Yeah, I actually did like that. It was based on The Phantom Killer. Yeah. And actually, you know what? They did a remake of that in the early to mid-2000s, I think, and that actually wasn't bad either. Yeah. I might rewatch that, too, for the
review. But in reality, there was a legend of Boggy Creek. There was.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a Sasquatch legend. And that's what this movie is about. A man trying to investigate and get down to the bottom of it. Sasquatch. But in reality, the real legend most likely was made up by the townspeople to keep black people out of the town. That's what they said.
I mean, of all the things to come up with.
Make up a monster. Make up Bigfoot.
Like I said, it's so Scooby-Doo. And they didn't even have Scooby-Doo back then. Crazy. It's like the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Well, no, I don't want to say that because I've heard of some pretty stupid things.
Oklahoma.
But it's up there.
That's Oklahoma.
No, it's Arkansas.
Arkansas.
It's Arkansas.
That's something they would make up in Arkansas.
Oklahoma, Arkansas. What's the difference?
Yeah. Back in those days, they'd do something like that.
It's just so funny. That's so fucking funny. Yes. All right. So we will see you guys again tomorrow.
Got decent reviews on Prime. It probably does.
It probably does.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It is.
Yeah.
So we'll probably.
Yes, it's 1972.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. The first Boggy Creek is 1972.
Yeah.
That's the decent one.
Yeah. That's the one we're talking about with Crenshaw, right?
No. The one we're talking about is
Crenshaw?
No.
Okay.
The one we're talking about is Boggy Creek 2 and The Legend Continues.
Oh, that's the one with Crenshaw?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually the third Boggy Creek movie because they made a second one and I think it didn't go anywhere. Okay. So they said, we're going to make another one.
We have to correct that, T. The 1972 one was the first one. That's not the one.
That's a good one.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah.
The one we're talking about with Crenshaw and all the crazy shit was the third one.
Except it's called Two.
But it's called Boggy Creek 2. Yeah. That's probably like 78 or something like that.
It's either, you know what? It might be early 80s.
Maybe early 80s. Right.
It's hard to say.
I
think it's early 80s because I kind of feel like she had like the lover boy kind of shit. Yeah, going on.
Out of the two, I'd pick Boggy Creek, The Legend Continues. I'd pick that one to watch. just because it's more bizarre.
But the MST version.
Because it's just more bizarre.
I mean, the MST version is way better.
I thought that was the first one, but
No.
I remember the first. The first one was when they were in those tents, right? And he set up the damn fucking motion detectors.
No, that was the third one. Okay. No, yeah, that was the same one.
Which one was the first one?
You might not have even seen the
first
one.
Maybe I didn't see the first one.
You just, because you keep saying, well, wasn't it that one? It's like, that's the same movie we've been talking about.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess I never seen the first one.
Maybe not. I saw it a long time ago and I remember it being pretty good. Tila said, okay, I added 1 and 2 to the watch list. I'm going to watch both. I have a feeling I'm going to need a strong drink for viewing purposes. Yeah. Yes, I would recommend that.
Yeah, but I'd rather watch Repo Genetic Opera than fucking part one. I don't think they were they sequential? I think they were standalones.
Yeah, I think they were too. Because I think they kind of covered a lot of the same ground.
Yeah, it was almost like they were, I think part two and three were remakes of part one.
I don't even think I saw the actual second one.
Right.
Because Louis said, wasn't one called Boggy Creek The Return? That might have been the second one that didn't go anywhere. I haven't seen that one. Because like I said, Boggy Creek 2 and The Legend Continues, I think is actually the third one.
They weren't real movies. The dude that stars in these directed them and produced them, made them for a local audience.
Yeah, for other Arkansas people.
Other people in Arkansas. All right. He was happy to get it to play in like 4 or 5 theaters. They weren't bad, but he was trying to show those California boys over in Hollywood that Arkansas could make movies. All right.
I'm not sure he really accomplished that.
Yeah.
Although, he did make movies. I'll give him that.
He did make movies. I think they probably did make some money, but I believe in my heart, watching it, the true motive was to get in young women's pants. That's what I think was.
Well, isn't that the only reason that dudes do anything?
That's probably why they did it over there in Hollywood anyway.
I mean,
to get in people's pants, because it. I'm watching it. I'm like, why would this dude spend his money on this? And then you see the girls he's working with. And he goes, yeah, he's cracking that. He's cracking us.
Or
he's trying to get his son to crack them. it makes you wonder what the fuck that shit was about. They're not bad, but they're watchable. And it is funny when you think about when you're watching the star of this thing and realizing that he's making this movie on his own.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes it enjoyable. Because most of the movie is about how fucking smart he is.
Because of course he wrote himself. Yeah, it's like he's the one that knows everything.
Yeah.
It's like this big pot.
How smart he is, how attractive he is, how all these women love him. It's just fucking funny, you know, how he's only going to be the only guy that can find Bigfoot. Or his son, maybe, might find Bigfoot. It's just funny, man. It's funny. It's a middle-aged male's. It's an unsophisticated 70s and 80s fantasy of a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
That's what this fucking movie is. I psychoanalyzed it as that.
There were a lot of like low-budget movies like that. And those are usually like really funny to watch.
Yeah.
Like especially dudes that wrote themselves into the main roles and they're like.
And then they're starring in a role.
And then the whole like movie is just about how awesome and right about everything they are.
Exactly.
It's so funny. Well, it's like so transparent that it's like really, really funny.
Like that dude who always casts himself as Jesus or an alien from
another
planet.
Yeah, what's that dude's name? God damn it.
And how he's a technological marvel and how all the women love him no matter what. He looks like which I don't understand that fucking you know yeah that dude he's made like 4 or 5 movies and he's always solving the world's problems
saving
the planet.
It's a massive ego thing, but those are really funny to watch. I think he's talked about a few of them on Shitcase Cinema.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And he's just a very subpar looking man with these fucking like ultra hot fucking chicks for hire who just love him in this movie. He's ridiculous, man.
It is. It's hilarious. Dom the Bomb says, what's Repo about? It's
Repo's good.
Yeah, Repo the Genetic Opera.
Yeah.
It's a
musical.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
And it's about, it's kind of like a, it's about, like a post-apocalyptic future kind of. Yeah,
in a future when corporations run everything. And it's kind of like an an Ogallopoly, I guess you could say. And it's about a guy who's a grave digger. And what he does is digs up dead bodies to extract a chemical from the pituitary glands of the dead. And from that hormone, they make a drug called Zydrate. And Zydrate is a fucking drug that you can inject into your body, and it will make cosmetic surgery and transplants. It will make it painless, and you'll heal up a lot faster. So there's this company out there that needs Zydrate, and they will sell you body modifications on loan, high-tech body modifications. And if you don't pay for them, they have special guys called Repo Men that hunt you down and cut those fucking modifications out of you without anesthesia while you're alive. And that's all part of this movie.
Yeah. I should note, too, because I think we were talking about before when we talked about the songs, Zydrate Anatomy, and actually they played that at the halfway to Halloween party.
Yeah, they play it. Paris Hilton sings it. She does a good job.
Yeah. She doesn't sing the whole thing, but she sings part, on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually did play that.
But if you go on YouTube, just look up, just search Zydrate Anatomy. It's a song, and you can listen to it, and that'll give you a sneak peek into what that movie's about. That's a good song.
Yeah, that's a good flick as well.
I like it better than Rocky Horror. I like it better than Rocky Horror. It's more modern and it's more gothic industrial. It's got
it's a lot newer.
Not better music. It's newer music. Real good visuals. It's real gothed out. Got all different kinds of like gothic imagery. You know, fucking cyber goth and fucking retro fucking kind of Victorian style stuff. And then there's medical themes and grave robbing themes where there's kind of almost like medieval looking people in it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's
dead bodies.
It's pretty fun.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah,
kind of. It's a horror musical.
You're right. Sure. All right. So I guess we've been going for over an hour. So we'll wrap it up for today, and we'll be back tomorrow, probably talking about another movie. I haven't decided which one yet, but we'll figure it out when we get to it. But as always, thanks for dropping by. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye.